Brian's a great guy. He's done a great job. He's brought us to where we are today, helped to bring us to where we are today. And, the list of kudos to Brian for the many things.
Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the Franklin, Mass. Radio dial, FM radio dial, 102.9. There was a council meeting Wednesday, and this is a Friday morning, so we're going to do a quarterbacking a little bit later, but that's okay, because we're still doing quarterbacking. And for those, and actually it was a variety of typical town business in the one meeting, so without killing the lead too much more. Good morning and happy Friday, Mr. Chairman Tom Mercer.
Ah, happy Friday, Steve. Always good, be good to be back with our quarterbacking sessions. But yeah, we've had a couple. We got another one next week, and we keep it going. But Wednesday night was, not one of our marathon meetings, but it was definitely a couple hours. And as you alluded to, it's there was a wide variety of issues that were on our agenda. So,
yeah, issues
so it's all good.
Issues in town business and
issues in town business,
exactly. And important recognitions too. So, yeah, that's part of the variety. It was really good.
Yep, for sure. So.
So in your, I should come back to thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you're new, what we're trying to do is just condense the council meeting to, 30 minutes or so, effectively answering the two questions. Okay, what just happened? And what does it mean for us Franklin residents and taxpayers? So with that as an intro, and then for the listeners who are regular, welcome back. Stay tuned. Fasten the seatbelt. We'll condense the meeting.
Yeah, for sure. And the meeting started under announcements from the chair. We have been fortunate enough. I've worked with our school committee chair, Dave Callahan, who's been very good about coming in to our meetings and kind of just giving a quick update as to what's going on at school committee meetings and what's going on at the school, because I think it's Dave and I talked about this a few months ago, and we've just been doing it the last month or so. And I think there's a lot of value in it because our audience is a little bit different than their audience. So I think it's an opportunity for our audience to hear a little bit about what's going on and at the school level and at the school committee. So I will continue to thank Dave very much for giving of his time, not only for the school committee and all of that, but to give that little extra to come to a council our council meetings and give us a quick update. So,
yeah, I think it's valid for your point, as well as to have it recorded. That way we know not everybody tunes in at the same time. Some people certainly come in person. Some people come in via Zoom, but then it's recorded. So as long as they catch up to it at some point, they're going to get the updates.
Exactly. And then again, I've moved a lot of our town clerk. When our town clerk comes and gives updates, sometimes there's a lot of information that that Nancy needs to get out. And I've been a little cognizant of what's under councilor comments, under citizens' comments is where she has spoken in the past.
Right.
I've moved her comments to announcements to come under my announcements from the chair to allow for that little extra time if that's what she needs to give information. So that's why, just for those who are watching all the time, That's why she, Nancy, is speaking now under announcements from the chair to allow her that flexibility. And again, Wednesday night was a very important one because she gave us an update on the elections. The ballots are in.
The
She
mailings are
announced.
out.
Exactly.
Yada, yada,
And
yada. Yeah, it's all important town business. And as opposed to, really giving her a separate agenda item, which to a certain extent could be done. But realistically, I mean, in this case, only there's two periods clearly running up here to June and then again running up to November for our local election. Thereby, it really doesn't need to be like a regular agenda item.
exactly. And I like where it comes under announcements from the chair because it's at the very beginning of the meeting. And
Right.
most, our audience is generally there for the early parts and maybe kind of dissipates through the course of the meeting. So having her there gives us that, gives us the ability to get as med. To as many people as we possibly can with the information.
Right.
So I thank Nancy again for coming and giving us those great updates as to where we are with the election, when early voting is, where all of these things are, and keeping us updated. She does a great job that way.
She does. Yeah. And being mindful, certainly early in the session, that's the perfect point because the council chambers have filled from time to time because of the recognitions, which is where we're going to go to next. And all of them respectfully will leave after the recognition pieces, but they've at least heard as well. So that's the
Exactly.
key piece of the audience. Yes. Yep.
Again, very good point.
Absolutely. So then he had two recognitions, starting off with two police promotions.
Yes, and again, we continue to remark about how nice it is to have brought those into the council chambers, promotions, swearing in of new police officers, as well as fire department and paramedics as they get sworn in and promoted. I like to think by me bringing them into the council meeting, it's really added a lot for them as well as for the community
Sure.
because you see what's going on, you see who's coming in, maybe you put a name to a face and maybe they show up at some point.
Right.
But anyway, we had two promotions this week where the chief promoted John Godino to sergeant and our new court prosecutor, Detective Tara Legault. So we congratulate them and thank them for their service to our community and look forward to their them working into their new positions. So
Yeah, it's a happy time, and
it's a happy time.
I know the chief mentioned it in the FinCom budget hearing as well. And I think he mentioned it that night, but I can get confused because I've been
They
to a
get
few meetings this
confused,
week. But the other point, just to add to that, is that certainly people can see because this is a fairly regular event between police and fire. Not that it's every single meeting, but it's fairly regular. So people may be saying, "Well, they're hiring people all the time." Well, yes, they are, but life happens. People retire and or people move. So the chief did spend some time at the FinCom hearing. He went through the last five, I think it was, and he had down to the person what they did, when they went, et cetera. So the point being is that we're not adding net new people. And oh, by the way, if the override, which we'll talk about a little later, doesn't pass, a couple of those folks unfortunately would be forced to get cut, and that's a consideration for the voters.
Yes, for sure. And yes, the chief did do that at the council meeting as well. He alluded to the fact that, and I think a councillor might have had the question just so that the public heard the response that these are not New hires. They are new hires by people, but they are replacing or filling open spots
Right.
that are already in the budget.
Yeah, and he did allude as well. I guess one of the new hires is actually the swearing-in ceremony is set up for your next meeting.
Correct. Next
Yeah.
one. Next Wednesday. Yeah.
Right. And then one of the other happy recognitions, you had a proclamation to recognize the high school theater group, which was the first time they'd made it to the state finals.
And it's really been good. I love bringing in the students from our schools and recognizing them again at a council meeting. Obviously, we wait and let the school committee do their thing, and they bring them in and recognize them there. But to my earlier point, our audience is a little bit different, and it's good. For I think it's great for us to bring in the students and recognize them at the council meetings as well, and give our audience an opportunity to see and hear what's going on in our school system. So it was great to have the theater group in, and virtually, that was one of the positions, theater program that was cut a couple of years ago, but these students have continued on their own
Yes.
to work with a form. I think she was a former student, that young gal that has is helping them.
Yeah, she's come back
They,
to volunteer.
yes, and it's a wonderful thing. And those are the kinds of things that are going on that not everybody knows about.
True.
And
Yeah.
kudos to the school department for providing the facilities and allowing them to continue their work in their in the arts. It's a very important piece. So it was great to have them. The last couple of meetings, we had the basketball team, boys basketball team. We had the cheerleaders in. We just had the theater group in. So all wonderful things.
Yep, indeed. And from a TV perspective, the video is in the play schedule on the education channel for at least their other performances. I don't recall seeing the performance up there yet, but it should be, because the studio does record those performances as well as. While we were at the council meeting Wednesday night, they were recording the high school jazz band performance at the high school as well. So people can tap into the education channel and then check into, whether it's sports games or concerts and performances like that. That's part of the service we provide as well.
Yeah.
And then a recognition for Brian Taberner, long time. I mean, he's been doing it. We go back starting about the same time.
I think 15 or 18 years he's been with been the planner and director of the planning department, planning and community development
Yes.
was his actual title. For the last 15, 17 years, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, 17,
And
18 years, yep.
it's Brian's a great guy. He's done a great job. He's brought us to where we are today, helped to bring us to where we are today. And the list of kudos to Brian for the many things that he's been involved with in regards to zoning and planning and economic development. And he was one of the leaders in bringing the cultural district into town and working with the Downtown Partnership. All of these things. We just can't thank Brian enough for all the work and all the things that he did for our great community. And it was really nice to see so many people that came to wish Brian well on his retirement.
Yeah, I was fortunate to have the opportunity to work with him for that 3+ year period as we did the initial three cultural festivals in preparation for the cultural district application, which, yay, did get approved, and now we're an official cultural district, one of 4 or 5 in Metro West, I think Jamie mentioned as well. But yeah, I've certainly seen and worked with him, but closely for those 3 years, and he's a gem. We're gonna miss him.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you had a couple of appointments. So an additional person to fill out a role for Agricultural Commission and another one for Disability Commission.
Yes, again, we thank the people for coming forward. And we had Matthew Stoltz, who was appointed to the Agricultural Commission, and Kelly Quinlan, who was appointed to the Disability Commission. And we thank these folks for the giving of their time for these to these different groups and giving of their expertise to help us as we move forward in these different with the agriculture and with the disability thing. There's always something going on, but we thank them for giving of their time to these committees. So.
Yep, I agree. Both important, relatively minor somewhat in the grand scheme of things, but important in the total scheme of things that are going on. And then one of the other technical business things that you did, you had the public hearing and then made the transfer for the Section 12 all alcohol license for a new business coming in to fill what had been box seats and previously the alumni, and I'm sure there's a few other names there,
Yeah.
because that's been, unfortunately, it's been a relative turnover, at least in my 18 years of reporting.
It has been, but this is a Franklin couple who are opening a new restaurant at the former Box Seats or former alumni, and it will be known as the Tavern at Central. They came in last night applying for the common victualler or all alcohol license, which is just part of the process. And so we had the public hearing on that, and then we voted the transfer of license to the folks at the Tavern at Central, and the Costa family, and Dolores Costa will be the manager. They'll be known as the Franklin Hospitality Group, LLC, I think is the corporate name. But the name on the restaurant will be the Tavern on Central. So.
Yeah, it's always been a busy place, but there's been a variety of things causing the turnover. But to the extent that, yeah, it's going to be a Franklin success story, or at least a Franklin story with people who have been here for a while now starting that, it is another reason to help local, shop local.
Absolutely.
So sometime later this summer, they've still got some other things to tie off, but hopefully later this summer we should be able to start getting in there.
Right.
And then you had the important resolution accepting formally and authorizing the formal deed transfer for the Parmenter School from schools to town operation.
Exactly. And the school committee voted to declare that a surplus at the end of the school calendar year. So the way that that works is then it goes back to comes under the jurisdiction of the town, but we have to then accept it, adjust the deed accordingly. There was, obviously some local concern as to we do not know what's going to be there as we move forward. Obviously, there's been talk as a possibility of a police station site, one of 4 or 5 that the or actually 3 that the consultant is looking at this point. But and who knows down the road, maybe another school. We don't know. But certainly Fields for now, and some of the concern from our residents was the Parmenter name and that disappearing, and that absolutely will not. The way the deed was structured initially was that it was that land, 20 plus acres, was donated to the town in memory of one of the Parmenter sons, Gerald Murdoch Parmenter, who was a pilot in World War II and died in the war. And they donated the land in memory of him with one stipulation, which was that a school would be built on that property within the next 5 years, which it was, and it did, which fulfilled what was required on the deed. So back a month or so ago, I reached out to the Parmenter family, and I met with Rick. And Jane, I met with Rick, and then I brought Rick into a meeting with Jamie, and we talked about the and Rick brought his son Brian, so a couple of generations of the
Yeah,
Parmenters.
three
And
generations present at the
and
meeting.
then yes, at the meeting on Wednesday night, three generations of the Parmenter family were at the council meeting for us to hear the resolution. And what we've done is we have named that complex by complex. The land, anything that goes there, will maintain the Parmenter name in perpetuity. And it will be part of the deed that way. And Rick and Brian and the Parmenter family were comfortable with that resolution. So that was voted on Wednesday night. And down the road, when we do do something there, whatever we do, there will be a formal presentation on unveiling of a sign or whatever we go
Some
there, but it
marker
will
of
be
some
known
sort.
as the Gerald Murdoch Parmenter Memorial Complex. Anything and everything that's built there will have the Parmenter, maintain the Parmenter name.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. Because clearly, if the school itself doesn't get torn down, gets repurposed, it can still maintain the name. And then the name can still be added to the police station if it ends up there. But at least the land itself, which is 20 plus acres, people don't necessarily realize that it really is pretty deep.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Having walked through the trails there, I know that's a pretty good size of property. And then with your council budget hearings coming up later this month, May 21st and 22nd, town administrator mentioned that that second hearing would get continued to June 4th. Because of June 3rd override vote. In case it does not pass, you have to make some adjustments.
As most people know that have followed the Joint Budget Subcommittee and the listening sessions as we've moved forward in the Finance Committee public hearings this week, that the budget is built upon the passing of the override. If the override failed, we obviously have to make some further cuts because we do have to pass a balanced budget. So the second hearing on Saturday, May 22nd, rather, will continue that hearing till June 4th, which is the day after the override vote. And that's a regular scheduled meeting, so if need be, we will deal with whatever we need to that evening, or we won't have to deal with anything. So, but just so people understand, we're not voting on a budget that we don't have the money yet to
Surety.
authorize. So,
No surety yet
Yeah,
until
none.
after. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that'll also avoid the rather long session that we had, what, June 26th last year after the failure.
Yes.
And then in excuse me, town administrator's update, he had a couple of pieces in regards to an update on some prior councillor questions. 300 Fisher Street effectively will be somewhat dormant given the EPA issues and continued, let's call it, uncertainty coming out of DC.
Exactly. With the uncertainty with the EPA, obviously, all of the projects associated with the EPA are kind of at a standstill for at least the time being. So, as we look at the 300 Fisher Street, it appears like, please don't look, be looking for something to happen there in the very near future, because it's going to be a while before that gets continued and completed.
And then the Chestnut Street apartments, and I know in conversations I've had, even with folks at the senior center, there's effectively two properties. But he spoke to the first one, which actually has the building, the structure. It is exterior complete. The interior is still incomplete. And he provided that
Exactly.
status.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. And that was one that I brought up at our last council meeting, because I had received a couple of inquiries as to what's going on with this. Nothing, it doesn't appear like there's any work being done. And so I asked our town administrator to look into it and report back to the council, which he did on Wednesday night. And basically, that's it, what you just said. The owner of the property just, we don't know, if it's a financial situation or what it is, but it is dormant. The outside of the building's done, but there's absolutely nothing. Maybe he's waiting to do something different. We just don't know, and all we can do is now wait and see what happens. As at some point, you got to think he's got to be doing, somebody's got to do something with that building. Why would you be paying taxes on something that
I agree. The safe from a safety point, at least it's buttoned up. It's fine. It's a visible spot, and I walk by there on a regular basis. In one of the walks I had done before, because it had come up in Franklin Q&A at the senior center, what's going on there? Well, in the back, there's that, the utility box for electrical. There's no box, so I was surmising that, okay, we know the Taj apartments waited for a while because, and effectively did a deal with National Grid, I from what I recall, to get a transformer in order for them to continue to do their work. And then it got swapped out when their other device finally came in. Well, I was speculating, well, then there's no device there. Maybe it is still on back order somewhere. But for whatever reason, yes, it's not going anywhere. And then across the street, something had been approved years ago, effectively changed hands, and now actually is under construction, which people are starting noticing. So that's where I was thinking there's two things going on there. One's not going in, the other one's finally starting being built.
Well, when I first brought it out, the town, when I first brought it up, the town administrator thought I was talking about the other piece, when I was really talking about the one that's just built. The building is just complete, so.
It is hard keeping up with it all because there is a lot going
There is a
on.
lot going on. There is a lot going on for sure.
Well, that's why we do this, so we can condense the normally sometimes 3 hour, but it was two something on Wednesday, and we've condensed it now to 30 minutes or so. So hopefully people will appreciate that. And thank you for taking time to do so.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me. And we look forward to a week from today, or a week next week, we'll have another one after our council meeting next Wednesday. So,
Right, indeed. Well, thank you again. And for the listeners, thank you for listening. And quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.